The U.S. Department of Health estimates that major depressive disorder affects about 15 million Americans. That's almost 7% of the adult population in this country. Traditional treatments include prescription drugs and talk therapy. But a pair of Georgia scientists have developed a new method through the power of magnetic waves. One of those scientists is my guest today. Charles Epstein is a professor of neurology at Emory and joins me now. Hi, Charles.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Now, when I say it's a new method, the idea of using magnetic waves on the brain, that idea is not new. But you guys, if as I understand it, have actually developed a method by which it can be feasible to do it.
We made it a little easier to do. You're right that human beings have been trying to use magnetism and electricity on our heads for as long as magnetism and electricity have been known. What we did was to make it a little easier and more efficient to use electromagnetism to employ a treatment that was developed about 25 years ago at the NIH and in South Carolina.
The National Institutes of Health. Now, I read an article from the Mayo Clinic that said the biology of why this works on depression isn't really understood. Is that correct?
That's correct, but to be perfectly honest, the biology of depression and a number of mental disorders is still not well understood.
So what exactly happens when they're using TMS or repetitive TMS on someone who has depression? What does that look like?
What we're doing basically is delivering pulses of electromagnetic energy to the left front part of the brain, an area that we know is often underactive in depression, and we are causing neurons in that part of the brain to fire, and we're juicing them up. We're making them more active, and we know that those neurons connect to other parts of the brain that are underactive in depression, and we're basically pepping up an area that is underactive, and frequently people get better.
Does the person have to be under anesthesia or anything in order for this to work?
Absolutely not. You feel a tapping sensation. On rare occasion, it's a little uncomfortable, but you're wide awake. You feel nothing else, and it's generally very easy to tolerate.
So TMS, this magnetic waves, this I also read is used when other depression treatments have not been effective. In other words, if prescription drugs are not working on someone with depression, they'll try magnetic waves. But if it's so non-invasive, why is it a last resort?
It's not a last resort. A last resort would include things like electroshock therapy, which has a terrible reputation in the movies, but is actually a highly effective treatment. Other last resorts are experimental. However, it is a lot easier to take pills. It is a lot more convenient and better for many people to do talk therapies or what are considered cognitive behavior therapies. And going into an office every day, often for weeks, to be hooked up to a complicated machine is not most people's first choice. So as one of the inventors of this system, I think it's reasonable that it not be the very first thing that people do.
What has been the response? Have you heard from doctors and institutions who are ready and excited to use the new system?
The response has been very good. At this point, thousands of people have been treated with TMS. Nothing works for everybody, but a very large number of people have benefited from this, and many of them are very happy with the results.
So, you know, when you say something like magnetism, it doesn't sound scientific, right? It sounds like we're going back to the days of Houdini when he was debunking fake science. when and how can magnets been used effectively in medical treatments? Because I know there's all kinds of products. If you go to a Whole Foods store or a holistic place, you pick up these magnets that make all kinds of claims about what they do for the body. But how does that work when you bring magnets into the scientific field?
Well, you're absolutely right. You can find these things all over. You can find them on the internet. There are two crucial differences. The first is that we have a fair idea of what part of the brain we're influencing and what that part of the brain does and what it may not be doing exactly right when you're sick. And second, we do what are called double-blind controlled trials, where nobody, not the patient, not the researcher, not the doctor, knows whether they're getting real treatment or a placebo. So we can tell with close to absolute certainty whether what we're doing actually works. We human beings have an infinite capacity to be hopeful, to believe that what we hope for is happening, and to have placebo responses, and we absolutely have to all be blinded to be sure that our treatment actually works. That's a crucial difference.
My guest is neurologist Charles Epstein. So moving forward, what other applications do you think could be used for this, not just for this particular method, but for magnets and the effect that they have on the brain?
Well, to repeat, these are not ordinary magnets.
These
are what you might call electromagnets, which are incredibly powerful. And every time they pulse, it's the equivalent of 50,000 light bulbs going off simultaneously for a tiny fraction of a second. That's one heck of a magnet.
Yeah.
But over a couple of decades, people have tried this for basically everything you and I can think of. And it looks quite promising for a fair number of conditions, psychiatric conditions and some neurologic conditions. But so far, depression is almost the only one that has received wide recognition for really clearly working, and the only one that has received FDA approval with broad general use.
Charles Epstein is a professor of neurology at Emory University. Thank you so much.